So first, can you start by giving us a sense of some of the concerns that Australian universities have when it comes to the Chinese Communist Party involvement?
Yes, well, the concern, as you've already said, is about interference. It's about using technology that's been developed in collaboration with Australian universities for practices that may well be against human rights, especially in areas like Tibet or Xinjiang. And this is a valid concern, and certainly there are other issues as well to do with whether or not, the Confucius Institutes, whether collaborating with them might also impact the objectivity of the research that comes through from Australian universities.
Yeah, so how are universities looking into these breaches of foreign interference laws? Like, what should their approach be?
Well, in one sense, universities have their own processes and regulations and also due diligence frameworks as well to assist with ensuring that research is conducted ethically, appropriately, and that it does not impact on national security concerns. Having said that, when you are collaborating with a company or with government, regardless of what that government may be, where it's located, or where that company may be from, there's always an inherent risk. And so as a result, it is a welcomed initiative, I think, for there to be probes and further investigations as to whether or not these projects being funded by Australian universities, if not by the Australian government as well, through schemes like the Australian Research Council funding, are actually being used in nefarious ways that may well impact the human rights of people elsewhere.
Mm. And do you think that that issue of funding then does kind of come into play as a problem with research then? Like, does that mean that certain projects that are being used to research overseas become underfunded?
Certainly. I mean, there's a real risk in this, in that we shouldn't overplay the issue as well, and we shouldn't sensationalize this problem. I mean, certainly it's a risk. It's something that deserves further investigation, but we shouldn't immediately assume that all collaborative research projects undertaken with a Chinese partner will necessarily have some degree of interference involved or an attempt on the Chinese part at undue influence. So it's very important that we don't overplay the risk involved, and that this does not in any way impact the ability of academics to exercise their ability to do research, to have the freedom to express their own beliefs based on their findings, but also their ability to collaborate with researchers in other countries, including in China.
Mm. And in terms of looking at the huge trade war that's going on in the moment, what is the precedent for Australia's current position with China and the US, and what can we kind of learn from the past?
I think there's So I was recently in China, and there's a very visible concern amongst my Chinese colleagues, who say that they do feel like at times they've been unfairly targeted. They get called as being spies. They now are quite concerned about traveling to the United States. In light of the reports that we're now hearing about how Chinese academics, especially those working within the sciences, have been, called by the FBI or the CIA to investigate their research things with the mainland. So there is that very real fear, and it's not always fair. It's not always justifiable. And so for that reason, I think Australia has a responsibility, especially to academics, to ensure that academic freedom is not in any way jeopardized as a result of these other fears pertaining to national security or intelligence, and that as a result, it does not follow the lead of the United States and what the Trump administration in particular has been doing in terms of conducting these investigations into Chinese academics, who in a number of cases have already been proven as innocent. So it's very important that Australia's policy is much more tempered. It is based on evidence, and that it is not just simply fear-mongering, which is now, unfortunately, I think, what we're seeing in the United States.
Mm. And I only have a very short amount of time for a last question. How do you think, I know it's a big question to answer quickly, but how do you think that Australia can balance this kind of negativity with a beneficial trade and political relationship?
Sure. I think it's important to remember that China and Australia have a very strong economic relationship. Political ties have been in existence ever since the opening up of the People's Republic. But more importantly, people-to-people ties are extremely important. And it's important to remember that people from China who come to Australia often come to Australia with the hope of learning something new. They're here because they want to see the outside perspective. They want to learn more about their country, but also about other countries. I think it behooves all of us to remember that we're not really actually dealing with enemies here. China may well be a threat in certain domains, but it's not a threat in every single domain. So it's important that we don't overgeneralize or over-securitize for that fact, the so-called China threat. For that reason, it's important that I think universities continue to reach out to universities in China, outside and beyond China, and to ensure that research collaboration and research links remain, but that at the same time that these links are in the best interest of both parties and to ensure, of course, that technology or scientific findings in particular are equally
shared. I'm sorry, Pitcher, I'm going to have to cut you off there, but thank you so much for joining us.
That's fine.